Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and I'm so glad you joined us today. And I'm joined by Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron. Hi, how are you guys in California?
Hi, Becky.
Trying to get used to it being 2023.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know. I saw a meme where somebody was like making the two into a three. And, you know, we get all, you know, we get creative about that kind of stuff.
It takes me about a month to catch
right.
up.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what? That brings up a good topic. Why is change so hard? Something as simple as even a new year can send us into, you know, a real struggle. But, you know, why? I you know, Alice, you've heard me say this before. Why questions are not always helpful. Mm-hmm. So what is it about change that makes it so difficult? What do you guys think?
Well, I think it makes it so difficult because we have to stop justifying our insecurities, and that makes it really difficult. Mm-hmm. One thing that I learned in my counseling program was that people change when the benefit of change exceeds the cost of staying the same. Or sometimes I've heard people say people change when the cost of staying the same is greater than the cost of change. Mm-hmm. So there's a cost to it, yep. and some of that cost is admitting to ourselves where we're flawed. And that we need to put in growth effort.
Mm. And Alice, how about you?
We have a great God-given design that we develop habits, and that can be very helpful, and it can be almost a curse that keeps us stuck. Just like muscle memory, our body learns how to do something, and it's very hard to unlearn it and relearn something new. And we don't always feel up for that. We're more comfortable with what is familiar and with what is habitual, and the risk of change is frightening and overwhelming. But at New Life, we know that's where the benefits come from. That's where the true peace comes from, and the contentedness and the joy. It's on the other side of working into change.
Yeah, you know, we talk about comfort zones, and we talk about how we don't want to feel pain at all. So to your point, Mark, about, you know, we don't want to feel that pain until it's too big, and then we got to deal with it. But, you know, it's interesting if we were just to warn people ahead of time, in case you didn't already know this, it's going to hurt a little bit. and it doesn't matter if it's the hurt is because you go to a workout and then you can't move the next day and you think, oh, well, that's not going to work. It could be that the anxiety of going to a group meeting. I don't want to feel that anxiety, so I'm not going to go to a group meeting. What are some simple steps that we can offer people when the pain starts to show up when we're trying to change?
There's such benefit to being proactive because that pain is just going to accumulate over time. So playing the tape out, if I don't change this, what is this habit, this relational problem going to look like 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road? You get that answer all the time that you listen to our calls on New Life because the misery has become so great that now I can call in and ask for help because I'm in so much pain. So play that tape out and decide, is that how you want your life to be down the road, or do you want it to be different?
Yeah, and even to that point, you know, the topic of writing your obituary and living towards what you want your life to look like, I think can also kind of lend to that idea. Mark?
Yeah, I was going to say, Becky, that pain is indicative of growth. It's part of the nature of growth, pain and discomfort. Mm-hmm. And so if you're experiencing that pain and discomfort, know that that's part of your growth. And lots of times our discomfort highlights the insecurities in us that we really need to work on.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, you know, we're here for you. We have a tip sheet that you can get for free. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and it's 6 steps necessary to change your life. And, you know, we've talked about a few of them. And number 5 on that is determination. And if we make the decision to live the life that God has planned for us, it might include a little bit of pain, but there's pain in growth and there's pain in staying the same. Choose your pain. Pick your pain. We want it to be pain for growth and healing. And I know, because we've seen it so many times, it is possible. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I hope something we said about change encourages you, inspires you, because I think all of us can grow just a little bit more each and every day. And maybe it's a call to new life, and we would love to have you come on board. We're going to talk to Joyce right now, who's calling us from Boston and listens on WEZE. Hello, Joyce. I'm so glad you waited. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you. I'm in my mid-50s, I divorced about 7 years ago, trying to navigate the dating world, which in the 7 years, I think I've had six dates. I've struggled with deciding to do the online thing or just waiting for, you know, that Mr. Right to just show up on my doorstep. I seek God's will all the time, and preface this, I married late in life at 39, married 9 years, and it turns out my ex-husband was a narcissist, and I met him through an online site, so I have this fear of making the same mistake.
Yeah, that makes sense, Joyce. You know, it's really hard to kind of get back into that routine again. It sounds like you've been trying for a long time, but that hesitation is blocking your way. Alice, Mark, where would you like to begin to help Joyce?
And is your question, Joyce, whether or not you should risk looking online again?
That's part of it, yeah. my pastor had said during a sermon, he made a statement that you can't find what you don't seek. And I know he wasn't talking about dating, but it still struck a chord with me. Like, I'm not going to find anybody if I'm not actively seeking. Mm-hmm.
And Joyce, have you done work to become a wiser person in knowing how to choose a safe person than back when you first chose your husband?
I would hope so. I didn't know that he was a narcissist or understand what it was until after we divorced, and I was informed by a counselor that he was. And then when I started researching what narcissism is, it was like a light bulb went off in my head. I have friends who have ex-husbands or narcissists, so I'm very kind of acutely aware of, signs to watch for.
So, Joyce, I want to work with you briefly on strengthening the answer of I would hope so, because I'm sure there is more to it than that. And if you have read Safe People by Cloud and Townsend, if you have gotten into a group of women and you've done individual therapy to both work through the pain of the marriage and the pain of the divorce, and then how to evaluate yourself and another person so that you have a clearer vision, although there are things you cannot know about a person before you get married to them. That's also the case. But coming into this with the answer of these are all the things I have done and I'm doing to be a stronger woman to make better choices in my life. I hear both horror stories about online dating, but I've also heard some practically fairy tales of things going great, going really well. And it really depends on what is our support system and how much of our own work have we done so that we're very aware of ourselves and as aware of other people as we can be.
That's good, Alice. Mark, how would you address this?
Yeah, Joyce, I can see a hesitation about meeting someone online. I actually met my wife online 10 years ago, and back then there was even less dating websites out there. Uh-huh. And so I don't necessarily think that it's a bad platform, obviously, but I think there's some websites that you could probably find better dates on than others. And so I would check it, I would really maybe look for a Christian dating website or one that advertises itself that way. It doesn't guarantee anything, but it helps kind of narrow it down a little bit. I think the other thing that I would encourage you to do is to think about some questions to ask someone when you go on a date, right? You can meet people mm-hmm. out there and yeah, there's this possibility that you can meet other people who are narcissistic, but it's being willing to ask those hard questions. A lot of times when we go on dates, we want to put our best foot forward, we want to keep it light, you know, we want to ask about likes and things like that. But I would start to ask some hard questions. Ask people about how they deal with conflict, to ask them about, you know, their relationship with their parents growing up, their current relationship with their family members now, what went wrong in their last relationship. Are they able to take ownership? Are they able to see where you know, they could have improved? Are they doing things now to improve in those areas that they know that they had deficiencies in? Because we all do that. So I encourage you, ask some of these hard questions, not just the light questions when you go out on a date. And also date in the light. You know, we get this question a lot on this show, and we're pretty consistent in saying this, is having that group of trusted friends. And I would say in that group of trusted friends who you're sharing about the dates that you're going on with, make sure that they're people who are in strong, healthy relationships themselves, so that they can actually speak to it and guide you well.
I love that. You know, Alice, oh, go ahead, finish.
Joyce, Emotional Freedom is coming up January 21st. And if you want to add to that answer of what are you doing to be the strongest, best version of you you can, Emotional Freedom is one of our most accessible workshops because it's online as well. But it just packs such a powerful message and transformation. So consider joining us there as part of the process of getting strong enough and getting back out there and dating again.
Yeah, that's a great idea. What I was going to say, Alice, is just what Mark is talking about. Joyce, you're going to have to do what Alice is talking about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you get to that solid foundation, that core of knowing who you are, knowing your value, knowing that you do have a good sense of who you are, you can then interview whoever you go out on a date with, because you're not going to be, you know, feeling insecure about, well, maybe he won't like me or maybe I'm not enough. It literally starts with you. We're going to send you a copy of that Safe People book because I think that was a great suggestion as well. And hold on, Joyce, and we'll give you information about our Emotional Freedom Online Workshop, which is January 21st. And I just can't say enough about the value of our online workshops. They are powerful, and they're accessible, and they are a reduced price compared to the in-person. Both types of our workshops are effective and are powerful. And I think one of the values or one of the benefits of the online workshop is you don't have to get in a car, in a plane, mm-hmm. in a train. The cost is less, but I have heard testimony from some of the guys from EMB who thought, you know, I don't think it's going to be the same, but it was just as powerful to be in those groups. So we've got a whole bunch of them planned this year in 2023. We got Every Man's Battle, Emotional Freedom. We have Lose It for Life. We got Courageous Parents. I tell you, if there is something that you need to address, our online workshops could be just the right thing for you. And of course, I would also tell you, if you can come in person, we would love to see you, because we know that that is really powerful as well. But either way, remember that whole thing we opened with change is hard. Let's, you know, do what we can to make it accessible.
Becky, I wish that it were a requirement for anyone dating to have to read How to Get a Date Worth Keeping by Henry Cloud and Is This the One by Steve Arterburn, because it gives such structure, guidelines, the questions to ask. So look into those books as well, Joyce.
Yeah, I think that's great. All right, now we're going to go to Marie, who's calling us from Tampa and listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Marie. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today? Hi, Marie. Are you there? Well, I don't think she can hear me. Marie, are you there? Okay, we'll put her on hold, and we will go to the next. We're going to talk to Brandon, who's calling us from Eugene, Oregon, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Brandon. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hi. I know we have a limited time, but I'm just wondering how much you think the marriage workshop might help me. I've been married almost 30 years. The past 6 years been working out of state, and with the idea that my family was going to join me, but that never happened. And I think in the separation has been very hard on our marriage. And then I took a new job closer, but we're still trying to get the family together. And I think it's just sort of wore us out. And I feel the strain, and I'm worried that, kind of like a previous caller that I was hearing, is that, you know, we're just settling for kind of a low-quality relationship. Having said that, there's other things, that other dynamics that have played into that. I think, you know, kind of relationships with other family members, you know, growing up with our own families of origin, and a relationship with my youngest daughter that I think we've never been able, I've tried to get her help, but never been able to do it, and that's created quite a strain also. So
Well, Brandon, what is the best way that we can help you today? What would be a good question for us to answer?
Well, I guess I'm really, the question I have today is, you know, I know you guys, I've listened to you for quite a few years, and I know you've talked about, and I've listened to the testimonies of people that have you know, that you, I've called in and talked about how valuable it was. So I have heard that, but at the same time, it seems to me from the outside, it looks kind of like a silver bullet, and like, oh, well, you come to the conference and it's magic. You leave a new person. And I realize there's a lot of hard work that has to go on with that. And I'm just, there's a little bit of me that's kind of, I could see putting the effort forward and then maybe being very disappointed easily with him. But
what I hear you saying, though, Brandon, is there's been a lot over the 30 years. And so you're looking for the first big leap of how do we get this back on track? And I think there's multiple steps, but let's hear from Alice and Mark, and we'll get you pointed in that right direction.
Brandon, are you afraid that either you or your wife will not be able to sustain the necessary work it will take after the weekend is over?
It's a concern. I guess I'm not. I guess there's a little bit of a concern that the mountain, because we're both already tired, and then it might be, oh, well, we see the issues clearly now, but it's like, you know, Mount Everest in front of us, and that might just be very discouraging.
Your concern completely makes sense. And I would say that as you've heard us talk about intimacy in marriage, it is as if you do about 6 months worth of weekly therapy in the weekend itself. So it is sort of a supercharged weekend, and it does tend to advance people forward a good deal. And yet you're right, it is also not a cure-all. But the fact that you two have lived apart for so many years, to be together in the same weekend with all of the seminar part of it and the group work that we do, I think you would feel as if it launched you forward a couple steps in your therapeutic work that is necessary. But you're right, it will take some time after the weekend in continued couples therapy to really get that turnaround that you and your wife need.
Well, and I have a question before we go to you, Mark. Brandon, do you and your wife talk about the problem, or do you just avoid talking about the problem and you're concerned about the problem?
Good question. I think there has been times when it's kind of, you know, we're just living life and it's sort of simmering under the surface, but recently I think it's become clear to us that what we're doing is not sustainable, and so it's, you know, I've been bringing the subject up, realizing that I don't want it to end up, you know, in divorce. So
Well, you can hear the music. We're going to go to a break, but don't go anywhere, Brandon, because we're going to be right back, and Mark will share his you know, point of view. I just think when there's so much, like you described, the Mount Everest in front of you, it takes one step at a time to get to that summit. and it's a lot of work and a lot of training. And you guys, it isn't impossible. We've seen, you know, we do talk about those overcomers that, you know, and I love your willingness, Brandon, and we can build on that. And I think we just got to figure out what are we distracted with, whether it's work, family, or just distance. We'll be right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Brandon, who is curious about our Intimacy and Marriage Workshop, which is going to be February 17th through 19th in Orange County. If you're interested, you can give us a call. Mark, let's hear from you. What would you suggest for Brandon to do?
Yeah, well, I applaud that you're thinking about going to Intimacy and Marriage, Brandon. I do think it's a good thing. Intensives with couples, and when I do intensives with couples, I do want to try and explain to them the benefits between coming and doing this dedicated therapy and weekly follow-up therapy. And there are some differences and there are some benefits of each. In weekly therapy, you get to kind of come and you get a little bit at a time and you get to kind of go away and process and do some practice work and then come back and ask questions. But the great thing about doing an intensive or doing something like Intimacy in Marriage is you get to go and you get to set this dedicated time aside that you know, and for a prolonged period that you're going to listen and you're going to learn and you're going to invest and you're going to put some time in. And so you're right. It's not necessarily a magic bullet that just by showing up, your relationship will be transformed. There's going to be effort involved in it. And at the top of the show, we were talking about, you know, why is change so difficult, so challenging for us to do? And it's because it's uncomfortable. It's because it involves pain and we have to stop justifying our insecurities. And so one thing that I explain to people about therapy is, you know, the way that I see it is that there's really three major components to therapy. One is insight, and insight has to do with understanding problems and where they come from and, you know, best practices. And then there's awareness, you know, how do I fit into that? How am I demonstrating good practices or bad practices, right? And then the final piece of it, and often the hardest piece of it, is the practice piece, is taking everything that you learn and then going away and then challenging yourself to do it over and over and over again. And really, it's something what we call neural pathway building or reconditioning. And that's really where transformation happens over, you know, just going and getting exposure to something. So that's something that I would encourage you that I do think it's a fantastic thing to go ahead and do. But no, it's going to come with some hard work involved in it. And you're going to have to take that away and you're going to have a commitment to transforming yourself.
Brandon, I have attended the Intensive Marriage Weekend multiple times because I've worked as a group therapist there. But I sit in all the seminar portions of it and all of the group therapy. And even as one helping to work the weekend, Brandon, my marriage has improved every single time I've gone because I learned something new and my skills are refined. So tell us, receiving all this feedback in answer to your question, how are you reacting to this? What are you thinking and feeling, Brandon?
Well, I think you answered one of the key points for me about the difference between going to, you know, a weekly session with somebody versus this idea that you guys have with an intensive. And I think I understand it better now. The idea about it maybe being a big jump start to getting moving in the right direction, as opposed to, you know, the magic wand. So, that makes actually more realistic sense.
How do you imagine your wife responding to your invitation to attend this?
You know, I've talked to her about going, and I think she's generally been open to doing those kinds of things, but I think she views it positively. Because I think she also recognizes we haven't been making the necessary investments. But I also think there's, you know, like you said, confronting some of these things is uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know,
I think when you show up, then it's going to be that's where the rubber meets the road.
That's right. And you know, here's the thing. I think that you guys have been doing this so long that you both are kind of comfortable in this discomfort. Mm-hmm. But I love that she's open to it. And yes. I think it is a both and. I think that there is a way for you guys to begin the work now and to join us at Intimacy and Marriage. You know, with the power of telehealth, you know, we have therapists all over the country that, and in your area, that you can do telehealth connections because your husband, your wife and you are so far apart. But it would be great to begin at the Intimacy and Marriage. Now, Mark, I interrupted you for just a second.
I think what I was going to say for you, Brandon, it sounds like the challenge is going to be what, you know, once you leave Intimacy and Marriage, going back and then living separate again, mm-hmm. and being able to do this work. And so I think that may be some of your biggest challenge, and maybe that's something that gets brought up and worked out during the time that you're there together.
Well, and Mark, would you talk just a little bit about what happens when we are avoiders? Because I have a sense that this may be happening in their relationship.
Yeah, when we're avoidant, people who are avoidant have a tendency to minimize, a tendency to move away from conflict, and to not address, you know, the real problems, the real issues that are there. And so for somebody who's an avoider, their discomfort, their area of growth is learning to lean into that, to challenge it, to confront it, to really kind of put it on the table, to look at it, and to really make a commitment to say, I'm going to do this. We're going to push past this no matter what it takes.
I love that. And I want to encourage you, Brandon, that this is your time. She's open to it. Take the risk. It could be the best decision that you make. Hold on, and we'll get you connected with somebody who can give you all the information. We're going to send you a copy of How We Love, and I think that'll get you started on the right path. But boy, I know that I am subjective when it comes to intimacy and marriage, but just like you said, Alice, it has improved my life. Mm-hmm. I've been on the front row to see how God has worked in these couples, and I can't encourage you more. Come and join us.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I want to say one more thing about intimacy and marriage, because I could probably talk all day about the power of the group. Many times in couples counseling, you know, I don't know about you guys, but it can feel like you're a referee at times, right? You know, it's the he said, she said, trying to get everybody on the same page. But what the couples experience in the group process is they can hear other people's stories and they see themselves. It's kind of like when you go to a movie or you read a book and you identify with the character, and then you realize, oh, that's what I'm doing. It's the narrative, you know. And I think it's interesting because, you know, Jesus taught in narrative, taught in story, and, you know, we're still benefiting from those stories. But I think for so many couples, they don't have an idea of what to expect. And what I want to say is, don't worry, we got you. And we just want you to come and join us and make your marriage the best that it possibly can be. We also do groups for engaged couples. So if you're thinking about getting married and you've ever considered that, give us a call and we'll get you connected. Speaking of calling, I know that Larry is in the studio, and we spend a lot of time calling and connecting with our donors, and we're so grateful to be able to do that. But Larry, what do you have for us today?
Well, a couple things. One, I want to remind people that today is the day we're going to do our Club New Life gathering on Zoom. And so if you're listening to this live, or if you're listening to this before a podcast, because it might be too late if you're listening on a podcast, you still can join Club New Life and get on that call if you haven't. Or if you forgot, didn't know anything about it, call us. Let us make sure you got the invitation. We want you to be there. Steve's going to talk on toxic tribal affinities. And I'm going just because I want to hear what he's got to say about that. I love that title.
Yeah, me too.
And then we're going to hear from you. We want to hear your stories, hear your questions, and just have it be an exchange of thoughts and ideas. The thing that I've got for you today is a testimony. I'm a retired OBGYN physician. In recent years, I've listened to your program on days I have been at home. The care and advice you provide is so important, and it is so enlightening to learn from from Christian clinicians. In addition, I found information I could use when seeing women in my office. Thank you so much for the work you perform and the lives you touch. New Life is a different type of ministry when compared to others for whom we support. It doesn't feed, clothe, or house people, but in dealing with the relational and emotional problems you discuss every day, you help save individuals and relationships, which is a need as great as our more traditional ministries. The work you perform is so important. Thank you for caring. You provide for the sheep of Jesus' pasture. Mm. And I love that because I've had people say to me, well, the Bible says we should feed the poor and clothe them, so we want to give more to them than to you. Well, one person told me he gave $40,000 this year. 10 went to us because he wanted $30,000 to go to another type of ministry. And the thing I think that we realize, and a lot of people don't, when people get help, we are helping them clothe and feed and do the right things with their own family. Mm. So it's important. I love these testimonies. This is what you support when you support us. Individual check, join Club New Life. However, we just appreciate you. And thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody who has been giving, especially at your end. There was a good outpouring.
We love that. And, you know, if you want to join Club New Life, we have a choice of the one-year Bible, the one-year Bible for men or the one-year Bible for women. And I can tell you, because I've been using it, you know, those little segments that either Steve or Misty wrote, they're just encouragement, and it helps you just in that process of taking God's Word. And we are, you know, our foundation is on God's Word. We know that it's God and truth and transformation. That's how we do what we do, and we're so grateful to be able to do it. We're so grateful for our Club New Life family, and I hope to see you all on our Zoom gathering tonight. You know, thank you, Larry. I want to go back. Alice, you had referred to the book Safe People. And one of the things that I've recognized about that book is that some people think by the title that it means how to pick safe people. And yet the reverse is kind of true, isn't it? It's really about how we become safe and how we can get foundational in our own understanding about how to determine what is good, what is not good, how to, you know, what's safe and what's not safe. But how has that book impacted your own life? I know that you've read it.
Well, I think it ends up doing both, because you're right. As we develop our own character and as we come to realize what are our healthy and unhealthy thoughts and practices, and we start to change that for ourselves, we become more knowledgeable about how to look for those same things in other people and how and where to find people that are interested in ongoing lifetime recovery. And that is what Safe People is about. And Becky, gosh, even as a psychologist for several years, I still hadn't done my own work because I was in denial, had some blind spots, host of other reasons as well. So I didn't think I needed to do the work. Well, I wasn't a safe person. I thought I was, but I was so unaware. And so really, when I found New Life and started to read all the books that we offer here, I realized that I was unaware of my own brokenness. And so in the process of facing my brokenness, doing the work we talk about all the time, I gradually became a safer person and then learned about how to get into groups, how to get that good therapy that I knew as a professional, but I didn't know in my own experience. And it's by the experiential work of what's in the book Safe People and all of our other books that we become that, and then we can find it.
Right. And you know, that's one of the things that we're going to talk about even in emotional freedom, is the safety in good, healthy relationships. And you know, it is it's a great idea, or it is ideal, to think that all of our relationships are going to be safe and healthy. But if you've ever listened to the show, you know that that's not true. And yet we are in relationships, and we want people to be connected. So how we navigate those challenges is very important. Now, Mark, I know with all the work that you do in your own practice, this is what we talk about, our relationships and safe relationships. And what are some of the things that get people stuck in their own relationship?
Yeah, and so another word that I would use here, Becky, would be secure. And oftentimes we'll use that as a synonym here for safety. But, you know, the type of work that I do is to help people understand about their attachment styles, right? And we either have secure attachments or we have insecure attachments. And as we find out how, you know, we've developed in our families of origin, how we've the lessons that we've learned about relationships and emotions and how to express ourselves and how we ended up getting our needs met or didn't get our needs met and how we had to deal with that. We discover whether those are secure or whether those are insecure. And I love what you said there, Alice, about learning, you know, as you become secure yourself, it's not necessarily about just looking for secure people, because if you're insecure, you don't really know what to look for. You have to become secure first, and then you gain that lens for what to look for. And then you learn how to hold boundaries too. And other people then who are in relationship with you, even if they're insecure, they either become more secure because they adhere to the boundaries that you hold, or you end up in a healthy way detaching from them because they're not willing to do that work.
You know, awareness is the first step, and the challenge is how to get to that place of awareness. Alice, you just said you were practicing, you know a lot of stuff, and you were helping lots of people. What was the first set, you know, like what was the first awareness that you have? I mean, I could give you a lot of examples of my own journey, but I think that that is the biggest piece, that so many people are not paying attention to the things in their life. They're unaware, or they are stuck. It's either or.
I'll give you two of them. I was living with a high level of anxiety that was so normal and familiar to me, I wouldn't have told you I was a very anxious person. One day when I was on a hike, I was breathing and I realized I couldn't take a full breath because my chest, my body was so tight, not because of the exercise, but because of all my anxiety and my inadequacy to handle all that life was asking of me at the time. And I was reading one of Cloud and Townsend's books at the same time, and a phrase stuck out to me, that we can rely on God for moment by moment grace. So I was lacking two things, Becky, at least two things. First, I didn't know how anxious I was. And second, I didn't know how available God was. And I had not yet understood how much psychology was really linked to spirituality. So it was by cracking open a Bible and actually reading it through for the first time ever and finding out that I was so in need of help that I was only inadequately helping the people that came to me. And so I needed to seek a therapist. I needed to find a group and figure out why I was so anxious, why I was angry and didn't even realize it, and what all that unfinished past was that I needed to start facing, forgiving, and asking for forgiveness for. That's the combination of psychology and spirituality.
I love it. And we've been doing it for 35 years. It's been amazing to see how God meets us at our point of need and lovingly restores us to the life that He has planned for us. And no one is beyond help. And that's the good news, right? I mean, it's just encouraging that you can begin today and your whole future could change for the better. And God's got work for you to do. and we want to help you along that way. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, every day I hear from people who say they love New Life. They've listened forever because we've been around for a long time and it's helped their life in so many ways. And so I want to challenge you listeners, if you have loved New Life and it's helped you, would you please let somebody else know about it? Whether it's to click the like if you're watching us on YouTube, share the podcast somewhere, or just, you know, maybe send a text to somebody and say, hey, I heard this on New Life and I thought you might be blessed by it as well. We want to help as many people as we can. We're going to go to the calls again. We're going to talk with Tracy, who's calling us from Fort Worth, Texas, and watches us on YouTube. Hello to our YouTube family. Tracy, thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I was calling wanting to know if I could get some help. I have a son who's 7 years old. He's in the second grade, and he's been telling me for the last month, maybe a little over a month, that he is afraid of dying, that he doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to go to heaven. He doesn't want anyone else to die, and then he literally will just start crying.
Well, that's sad, Tracy. Okay, Alice, go ahead.
Tracy, what experience does your son have with death?
Well, the only thing I can think of is back during COVID, when COVID first started, we lost one of our family members, and he didn't automatically at that time start with, you know, saying he was afraid to die, but I've really noticed it like over the last month. But we did lose a close family member during that time.
And when you respond to him and you comfort him in his fear, is he receptive to your comfort and is he soothed by it?
He's soothed by it, and then he will stop and then we'll, you know, continue on, but then it'll come up later again. And so I'm just trying to figure out where that's coming from. And when I try to soothe him, you know, I remind him that he's here now, but I really don't know what else to say or do.
Tracy, was your son exposed to something recently, maybe something that he saw, or a movie or something online, do you think?
I don't know about a movie, but I will say that he was sick a few weeks ago. He was not feeling well, and so he had to stay home, and he missed some days in school. But that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I encourage you to maybe ask him, because fear is learned, and so he's got this fear here. And it's not an irrational fear in the sense that many people are afraid of dying. But I would find out if he has specifically seen something or you know, ask him the question, what's his biggest fear about dying? Ask him some questions, try and get his prefrontal cortex engaged. That's the rational thinking part of the brain. And then I would normalize his fear for him. You know, let him know that it's okay to be afraid of dying. Many people are afraid of dying. And then offer him that comfort, physical comfort, to help him regulate his body system. But I would also offer some comfort, you know, as believers, that we have that death is not the final step here, and that there's a wonderful life available on the other side too. Mm-hmm.
Tracy, our loved ones bring fear to us, the normal reaction is to comfort quickly and to tell our loved one that they're wrong in the fear. No, you don't have to be afraid of this. And what Mark is suggesting is to become curious and to explore the fear, which can be really uncomfortable to do because it's sitting with the fear and even in the fear with him longer than you would like. But it actually shows more resolution of fear when we do that. Mylan and Kay's comfort circle helps us to do that and gives questions to ask to find the roots of it. And I would also suggest praying together. If you don't already, add that to the way that you comfort him.
I love that. And I also love that curiosity. You know, obviously your son has a good imagination. that sometimes is impeded by fear. You know, our fears can get bigger when we have a big imagination because we can imagine all kinds of terrible things. But I would also, I love what you just said, Alice, about, you know, praying with him. But I also think you can also talk about what to look forward in life. So that he begins to kind of shift his thinking and his focus from this, because a lot of times, I love also, Mark, you said fear is learned. The more we do something, the more we do something, right? It becomes familiar, it becomes a pattern, and it can get real solid in our thinking. So then everything becomes about the fear. And so we want to help a seven-year-old have a, you know, a new outlook on life and to begin to have just short conversations. I'm sure, Mark and Alice, do you have any kind of maybe brief statements to start with a seven-year-old about this topic so that it's not this big, deep thing every single time?
Well, in order to explore his exposure, I would probably comment that we see a lot of different versions of scary, dark things, images of death. And I would bring up some of the potentials of where he might have seen this, including video games and any of the online games that he enjoys, to bring that up as a possibility and to wonder, you know, were there things that you saw there that frightened you? I've been scared too. And I'd bring up something, Tracy, that I've been afraid of in my life. I've been afraid of the dark. It really scares me sometimes, and it's hard for me to admit to that. So both giving him examples that he can then build off and being humble about the fact that in your life you've experienced fear too will probably help open him up. I just took my kids to the new Puss in Boots movie, and there is an animal representative of death in that movie. And it was a terrifying representation. It was a PG movie, but it was a lot scarier than a PG rating. And in a fanciful movie that's supposed to be for kids, it's just one example of how much frightening dark content is too accessible to our kids.
Well, and you know what, Alice, I was thinking, I'm wondering about fellow students or friends, people in the neighborhood that might be saying things to him that could be causing some of this as well, because that does happen. Mark, I'm going to give you the last word before we run out of time.
Yeah, and so I definitely think that there's a lot that can be explored here, Tracy, by just sitting with your son and asking him some thoughtful questions. I also just want to encourage, you know, just the power of physical touch. You know, when we're scared, we need comfort, we need to be soothed, we need safety, we need security, we need protection. So sometimes if you run out of something to say, just even just holding your son and saying, you know, I'm here, you're safe, it's okay, just allowing him to regulate his body system. And as he starts to calm down, right, then maybe start to ask some more questions or give more comforting statements. Mm-hmm. But just, don't forget the power of just being present and physical touch, especially for a seven-year-old.
I love that. I love that. We're going to send you a copy of Kirby McCook. I know, Alice, that's a big hit at your house.
Yes, it is.
And it also is a great meeting point for parents to be able to be reading the stories from the Bible from a perspective that the kids can enjoy as well. And, you know, I love when moms and dads are checking in with their kids. And so I'm thankful that he is asking you about these things and sharing that. And that's what we want. You know, we at New Life, we just want you to know that there is a path forward. That, you know, we have tools, we have resources, we have workshops. You hear us talk about it all the time. But, you know, if you're listening and something we said today or you heard a caller today with a challenge that resonated with you, you know, don't sit on that for very long. It's a new year. Begin the process of just looking into it. Maybe you call us for one of the tip sheets. Maybe you call us for a counselor, or maybe you join us at one of the workshops. And, you know, I will say again, emotional freedom could be the best way to start. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Alice, for your wisdom. I'm so grateful for both of you and for all you do, for everybody who's listening. Thank you, listeners, for joining in. And we will see you next time. Tell somebody about New Life. It could make all the difference in their world and yours, too. We appreciate you. God bless.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To
make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.